Good morning, everyone. We are truly blessed by your presence this morning. It's a great weekend. Yesterday was beautiful. Actually, this morning I checked my app and it said 60. So it's a very pleasant morning. Let me plug a couple of things. First, there's a sign-up sheet in the bulletin board down the hallway. That's for our outdoor activities next month. If you want to do water rafting, write down your name, also your phone number, so we can track you down. We can figure out what day is best or what Saturday is best for what water rafting. Also, biking, that will be in Virginia Creeper. Thank you, Virginia Creeper. So also, if you want to do that sometime in next month, write down your name as well, so your phone number, so we can figure out the best Saturday for us that will go out and do the water rafting and also the biking in Virginia. Now, it might be hot because it's summer, but I think it will be fun. But the second thing that I want to plug is that the mission team will be traveling this Saturday early morning, 5 in the morning, to down to Coral Springs. One of the ministers is a good friend of Eric Riley, and they've been doing this, the church planting there, I think for 6 years now. I might be wrong about that number, but help like what we're doing, sending team there, is a good thing for that, because that's one of the ways of reaching out the community. So the team will be leaving this Saturday morning, and we'll come back Friday, this coming Friday morning. So I would like for you to keep them in mind, pray for them for safety, because it's a long drive. But also I would like for the team to come up on stage, and if the elders, or one of the elders, would come up and pray over us, so the rest of the team for the mission team members. There we go. Probably Brother Jerry would I guess we'll come here.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for these folks here that have decided to take your word and go to other places, Father, that need to hear you, Father. They need to hear your word. They need to see living examples of the joy of being a Christian, Father. And we just pray that you would bless them, that you would give them the ability and the zeal to minister to people that they come in contact with in Florida and everywhere in between, Father. And we pray that you would bless them with safety, Father, that you would bless them with good health as they travel and journey there and back and beyond. And Father, we just love them, and they're part of our family, Father, and we just pray that you'll just keep a shroud of protection over them in what they do. Father, it's just a joy to be able to represent you and proclaim your word, and we're just so thankful that you give us that ability. Father, help us to realize that no matter where our talent lies, that we're able to do things, Father, in your name, whatever it might be, Father. It's all important, Father. And we were just so thankful that you give us the diversity to do different things, Father, to show you in our lives. We pray all these prayers in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks a lot for that. All right, so today's sermon is about how to be a godly father. So all fathers out there, if you just got married or have one son or child, probably 2, 6, or your, grandfather or great-grandfather, happy Father's Day to each one of us. And I think it's fair to propose this, that since it's Father's Day, that they should get a pass from mowing their yards this week. And also, they should get a pass from fixing the light fixtures or the clogging the toilet and have a day at the lake. I think it's fitting for them to have that. So that could be a good gift for them today and for this week. But on a more serious note, fathers are the brick layers of our society. They're the backbone of our families, of our communities. Because without fathers, we would not see what courage is. We would not understand what bravery is about. We would have no backbone in our community if there's no fathers. They're like, someone put it this way, they're like the rebar of the family foundation, hidden from sight most of the time, but absolutely essential to building wholeness. You know that rebar is covered by cement and all the block and all those things that goes into building a house. You don't see those kinds of things, but yet they are that core person or thing that holds the family, the society. And so we're grateful that we are blessed by God with men, with fathers, and people that inspire us. You don't have to be a father to celebrate Father's Day. This is just a way for us to remember that we have people in our lives that we call daddy or father that signifies something about our being. So we use images and symbols to kind of capture the wholeness of who they are, our appreciation. So to show appreciation, we use symbols and images. One is a symbol of protection and provision. Our father are our protection and provision. They are the ones that protect us and provide our needs on a daily basis and also provide vision for us. Like when I was a child, my dad would always ask me, what do you want to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Who do you want to become when you're 50 years old? So those kinds of things. But he also tried to make us safe. Like he would always remind me, when you go out in the field, be sure to bring a knife because there might be a snake. You will need a knife to defend yourself from a snake. So that's these kinds of things, small things, but tells me that he is a symbol of protection and provision for me and for all of us. They're also our heroes. This is true, especially for girls. Our father are our heroes. My Amelia would always cling to my finger whenever we go out to the mall, to the park, would always cling to this right here, to this finger right here, would hold like this. Because I am her hero. And that imagery of hero is a good image because that tells us that they are looking up to us, that there will be somebody that will save them from any kinds of troubles. And I would like for them to think of their father that way, because in their life they will encounter troubles, you know, struggles, and they will need somebody to rescue them from their troubles, probably need somebody to guide them. And you would want for your daughter or your son to have somebody that has wisdom from God to guide them properly. They are also our support. One girl said this, that when her parents separated, her dad, instead of visiting her just every other weekend, he said that, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to call you every single day of your life. And he did. He called her every single day of her life without missing a day. Maybe the talk was just 30 minutes. Sometimes it's just a minute. But he would always call her and ask, how's your day been? What are you doing? Those kinds of things. And sometimes she would vent out to her father. But he still would call her every single day. They're also, our fathers are also images of bravery, reason, authority, and love. You know, in our life, we need a figure of authority. We need a figure of authority because the figure of authority is that person that tells us that there is right and wrong. Without the figure of authority, we would not know what is immoral and moral. But I also know that not all of us have good images, memories, and symbols of a father. Unfortunately, some have an image of a father that is absent. Some had an image of the father that were abusive. And here's the reality. Our earthly father are not perfect. And I think as sons and daughters, we have to be gracious to the fact that they are not perfect. We have to be gracious that our father are just like us. They're human beings. My father taught me a lot of skills like planting trees, vegetables, any kinds of vegetables. He taught me how to swim. He taught me to read the map. But there were also instances where he was not pleased with me. When we were out in the field, he would say, you are too slow. That's not how you drive a hammer or a nail. That's not how you handle a hammer. That's not how you drive a nail. Like, to me, that was something that I fell short, because in his eyes, at least at that single moment, I was not as sharp as he was. But that's the reality. Our fathers are not perfect. But this is also why Jesus would introduce to us a father that is perfect, a father that is good. And in Matthew chapter 5 or chapter 6, and also in Luke chapter 11, when Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, he said, "Our Father in heaven." And this is the first time, by the way, that Jesus used this sense of Father, of God as their Father, in that intimacy, in that level of intimacy. Oh, there are images of God as Father in the Old Testament. Of God as Father in the Old Testament, like in the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah as well. But it was not as common to refer to God as Father on a personal, intimate level. So the image was present, but there was no intimacy. Like, for example, they would view God as Father in the sense of a founder. They view God as a father in the sense that God is the founder of their tribe. God is the founder of their nation, of Israel, of their Hebrew people. But in the sense, like in this level of intimacy that Jesus said, "You, God, are my Father." So what Jesus did here in Matthew chapter 6 and also Luke 11 is bridge the gap between us and God as our Father. He's bringing God closer to us. He wants us to have the intimacy. So he shifted the paradigm so that we would consider now God not as a distant image, but God as our Father. As our Father. That's why he was quoted saying, "Abba, Father." That's an Aramaic word for, some would say, the English equivalent is daddy. But I would argue that it's deeper than daddy. It's like a figure of a mom, but also daddy at the same time. You have that level of authority, but also softness and grace. That is what daddy is. That is what Abba is. It's more than a relationship. There's that deeper intimacy. So Jesus introduced us to a Father that is perfect, a Father that is good, a Father that we can rely on, a Father that we can look up to, a Father that regardless of our situation here in this earth, regardless of the marital situation of our parents, we can always look up to the Father that is perfect, that is true. Regardless of the hurt that we feel, we can always look up to the Father that is gracious and loving to us. Jesus pointed us to the Father because he wanted us to experience that same level of intimacy that he had with his Father. So really, Jesus is introducing us to this image of a Father that we so badly need in this society. So there's many things that's happening in this world today, and one of the comments that have been said is that if there was only a father in the home, then our society would be much better off. And I would agree to that. I think if the father is present in our homes, then our society would be better off. But here are the reasons why God is our Father. God is a Father because he is our creator. Not just these things that we enjoy, not just the blue skies, not just the moon, but also ourselves. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, God says, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness." We are created after the image of God, after the likeness of God, not after some sort of beast, not after some sort of giraffe or dinosaurs or whatever, after the image of God. And I would like for you to dwell on the fact that we as human beings, even though we're flawless, not flawless, but flawed beings, I was expecting for a reaction from that, but we are created from the likeness of God. That tells you about God's love for you. God's love for you, that you are created after his likeness. He is our creator. God is our Father because he is our provider. What image is better than God providing the needs of the Israelites for 40 years? 40 years in the desert. There was no Walmart there. There was no Dollar General, right? They were in the desert 40 years. There was a shortage of food in the other areas, but never where God was. God provided food for them. I love this verse that communicates this. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, "For the Lord God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has shown you, he has known your wanderings through his great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord God has been with you. You have not lacked anything." You have not lacked anything. That's 40 years. That's half of our life that God provided their needs. God is our Father because he is our protector. And I love the imagery in the Old Testament of God being this pillar of cloud by day and pillar of cloud by night, because I think that's a perfect imagery of what God is as our protector. He is going with us every single day of our lives. Now, we don't see a pillar of cloud today and a pillar of fire by night, but the Holy Spirit is the one that has been constantly walking with us every single day. The Holy Spirit is the one that's helping us make the right decisions, the good decisions. The Holy Spirit is the one that's telling us what to do next. The Holy Spirit is the one that brought you here today. You could have done other things. It's Father's Day. You could have said to yourself, "Hey, let's take you to the lake because you deserve this," right? But the Holy Spirit told you to come here. The Holy Spirit is the one that's protecting us and guiding us. He is also our Father because he is our Redeemer. What better text is there than John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in that Son will have an everlasting life." God is our Redeemer. And fathers love to redeem the family. They try their best to have a good family. Of course, like what I said in the beginning, we're not perfect. Fathers are not perfect, but we try. Kids, if you're listening, teenagers, if you're listening, we try our best. We try our best. Of course, we have shortcomings, but we try our best to be good fathers, to be a good redeemer of the family, to hold up the family. But how do we become, or how should we be a good, a godly father? Don't have five things this morning, just two things this morning, but I think these two things are the foundation of how to be a godly father. One is this: be a father that loves and fears God. Be a father that loves and fears God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5 is the Shema, but I'm going to read that verse. "But if hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, loving here is not the emotional kind of thing. Of course, that is present in love, but it's more than the emotional thing that he's talking here. It's that commitment. Because when you love God, then you know the morals, right, of God. You want to do the things that pleases God. You want to follow God if you love God. You want to be the person that puts God the center of their lives if you love God. That's what he's talking about here. Loving God with all of my being. He is not at the bottom on my list. He is at the top of my list. When I look at my life, I look through his lenses because I love God. This is what love means. It's that level of deep commitment with God. So if you want to be a godly father, be a father that loves and fears God. And secondly, be a father that leads your family to godliness. Be a father that leads your family to godliness. I don't have five, like I said, but two. But I believe these two are the core foundation of how to be a godly father. Be a father that leads your family to godliness. Kids are like sponges. And fathers, you have noticed that. Whatever you do, your child tries to follow that. Mimics you. If you, you know, stick your finger to your nose and get the booger out, you will see your child doing that. If you use this and then you like that, your child will do that as well. If you act funny, your child will copy that as well. The way that you talk, your child will copy that. They're like sponges. Whatever you do, they try to copy that. And there's good study about that, but But here's the good thing about that. That means that in the first formative years of your kids' life, you can help them become who they should be. Right? Because they're trying to copy you. They're mimicking you. They're mimicking you. Your actions, your words, the way that you express, the way that you sigh. You know, if your wife comes at you and she's like a bum to you, the way that you sigh, your kid catches that up. One day this week, we went to Walmart in Cookeville. You know, all kinds of crazy things happen in Walmart. But we were looking for stuff for the VBS, for the mission trip. And I have Amelia, of course, and Andrea has Jeremiah. She's a daddy's girl. He's a mama's boy. That makes sense. So she went, and Jeremiah went to a different aisle, and I took Amelia to a different aisle. So we got separated, and Amelia said, "You have to call mama because we have to, you know, have to see them and what they're up to." So I did call her, and she answered. And then when I got to aisle 25, because I said, "Where are you?" She said, "I'm on aisle 25." When I got to aisle 25, she had that flustered face, like her face was drained of blood, like she saw a ghost. And I was like, "What happened?" She said, "I lost my phone. I can't find it." And she opened her purse and it's like, "It's not here anymore." And I said, "What do you mean? You just answered me. I answered you through my watch. I lost my phone. I can't find it." And I was like, "Did you put your phone in your purse?" And she gave me that look, like crazy look, like she's mad at me. Like, "Why are you asking me this question? I just lost my phone." And I was trying to ask questions to process, like, why did she lose your phone? Like, did you put it in the cart or in the purse or what? And so we panicked. I said, were you standing next to a guy? Because she was standing next to a guy, and we thought that this woman, probably some guy, picked out her phone if she was careless about her phone. And so I said, "Let me go back to the truck and let me check if your phone is in the truck, because it probably was in the truck." And she was crazy, going all over the place looking for her phone. And when I was going to the truck to check if her phone was in the truck, Jeremiah said this, "Mommy, can we pray? Mommy, can we pray?" And I just love that. Now, that did not happen overnight. That happened because every night we pray as a family before we put them to bed, every single night without a miss. We always have a short routine like, "Good night, I love you, see you in the morning." And so that was his reaction because he saw that in us. Our prayers are probably the same every night. God protect us, God bless us. But it doesn't matter if it's the same every night. What matters is that he sees us every night pray. And so his first reaction in that moments of confusion was to pray. What happened to the phone? It was in the truck. It was in the truck. It was sitting. But that's not the end of the story. As we were in that Walmart, Amelia all the time was holding that Paw Patrol stuffed toy. And if you know Amelia, you know that she has dozens and dozens of stuffed toys. And Andrea and I have figured out that if she's ever going to ask another stuffed toy, we're going to say no. And we did. So she cried at Walmart after the incident with the phone. So, and what happened is that when we got home, Jeremiah said, "Mom, let's go back to Walmart." This is after we put Amelia to bed. And Jeremiah has these jars of glass jars that as his piggy bank. And he took out money and bought that stuffed toy. And in the morning when Amelia woke up, he surprised her with that stuffed toy that she cried for the other night. And again, that's because, I'm not saying that we are perfect, we're not by no means. I'm just saying that he saw that. And so his reaction is to be that. My point in this is that be a father that leads your family. Be a father, you don't have to be perfect to be a good father, but be a father that points your family to God. Be a father that says, you know, "I may be struggling right now, but I know that I can do better. I know that I have things to figure out. But I have God that I can point my family to. Give me this time or whatever. I can be better. Joshua chapter 24, right at the end of Joshua's career, this is what he said, and he gathered Israel. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, you know, the idols over there, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, beginning with myself and my household, meaning my servants, my wife, my mother, everybody in that house, in that family, in that tribe, in that clan, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is that kind of commitment that I'm talking about in this point right here. Be a father that leads your family to godliness. Godliness, by the way, is different from religious. Religious is just checking the box. And anybody can do that. Okay, it's Sunday, let's go to church. Godliness is when, even when you're not at church, you're still talking to God. You're still conversing with God. Godliness is even when you don't memorize or have not memorized the Bible, you know what is right and wrong. Godliness is when, even when nobody is looking at you, you still know that you are a Christian, you're a father, you're a husband, you have kids, and you are going to be truthful to those commitments. That's what godliness is. That's different from religious. Religious, that's what that is. Godliness is Christian, loves God through and through. That's what godliness is. Teenagers here, you are blessed with the godly parents. You are blessed with the godly parents, and they're doing their best to be good examples as parents, good examples as fathers. Juggling work and time with you is a challenge, and it will continue to be a challenge. But I know this, that when they set aside time to be with you, they value that. They value that. And so I would like to remind the teenagers here, while your dad are still with you, always show your appreciation. Love them, be gracious to them, because they're trying their best. To the parents here, especially to the dads, this is my word. Let's always look up to God. Let's always look up to God. We go through life with different kinds of lenses. A person that uses the lens of money will always look through the lens of a dollar sign and will always say, what will benefit me the most in financial terms? And a person that uses the lens of immorality will always say, what will make me feel good every single day? But a person that uses the lens of God will know what is right for his family and right for his generation. Because this is the book of wisdom that, regardless of the changes of time, will continue to be true, will continue to be faithful, will continue to point us in the right direction. So this is that book. So we need to look up to God. Be a godly father. And lastly, a good father, by the way, if you haven't picked up on this already, a good father is a godly father. No other way. A good father is a godly father. So if you want to be a good father, be godly. No other route. If you want to be a good father, be godly. My prayer for all of us this morning is that we get to celebrate this Father's Day, not just for the fathers that we have, but also for the true Father that continues to be loving despite of our mistakes, continues to be gracious, and still welcomes children that have fallen off or trying to get back to their feet. Let's celebrate that Father. I'm talking about God. Let's celebrate Him for His goodness in our lives. So if there's anybody here that has any spiritual need this morning, We ask you to be direct with the elders and the ministers, or if you are somebody that feels like this is the right time to commit my life to Christ, please don't hesitate to come for us as we stand and sing the invitation song.